You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is wide receiver week. We are going to go over the top five-ish prospects. We're going to do a two-part series for these wide receivers because it is a kind of deep class, and we wanted to kind of extend it out a little bit so we're not rushing through everything. We want to give you as much analysis as humanly possible. So as every week, I have my boy Tyler, my boy Tim, and we have been graced with the presence of my son. My son, Riley Bymaster, is here. Son, it's been so long since I've seen you. How the hell are you?
Dad, I'm doing phenomenal. It's good to be back. It's almost like I'm back home for the holidays with my dad and my brothers, literally, you know, with Tyler and Tim here. And it's great to see you guys again. It's been too long.
I think the last time might have been like in a closet with a with the brown suit. Was that here? Was that somewhere else?
The brown suit became a thing. It was like the black or blue dress type thing. People were wondering all over. And it's like three men and a baby here. That's pretty much what it is.
That must have been that was a long time ago because I'm out of college now, living on my own, and I'm in an office now. So we've upgraded from a closet to an office.
Look at that. You are. You know, in two more years, you're going to be in a mansion.
Sure.
Send me some money.
We'll see.
You're making it big. Hook me up.
He didn't say no.
Yeah,
didn't say no, didn't say yes though.
You know what you know what you should say yes to though? If you're listening, you should say yes to trophysmack.com because they are going to give you the absolute, they're not going to give you, you got to buy it. But they have the absolute elite trophy options whether you want a gangster grill, you want a championship belt, Tyler, I'm looking at you, put it in the mail, or a trophy, you can go to trophysmack.com, use code DHHRING, you get a free championship ring, keep for yourself. We joked, give it as an engagement ring if she's into fantasy football. That would be
awesome.
Then
she'll say yes.
And she will say yes. Yes, absolutely. So make sure you go on to Trophy Smack. They have all sorts of different options, whether you play fantasy football, baseball. They were just on Shark Tank. They're backed by Mark Cuban now. They are the biggest thing in trophies. So trophysmack.com, code DHHRING. So I'm ready to talk wide receivers. We all know what happened with last year's class. It was absolutely epic. Probably the best class since 2014? Mm-hmm. With that class, and it was just deep. We saw Justin Jefferson come out and break rookie records. We saw CeeDee Lamb have an excellent season with not much Dak Prescott for the most part and still had 900 yards and I think 6 or 7 touchdowns. We saw quite a few rookies really take the league by storm. You had T. Higgins. You had LaVisca Chenault. You had all these guys. I'm looking at you, Michael Pittman. You got Carson Wentz now. Let's do something. So lots and lots of great receivers came out of last year's class. So if you had those second-round picks from like 201 to like 207 or 8, you hit on a lot of those picks, which is always awesome. So it's going to be really interesting as we talk about these prospects today. Obviously, where the landing spots are, because the league is very talent-rich right now at the wide receiver position, as well as the running back position and the tight end position. There's just a lot of awesome talent in the league, which is awesome to see, all the way across the board. So I'm really interested to see where these guys land, because to me, when a rookie comes in, I want to see, like, what's his target share going to look like? How is he in the pecking order? Like, is he going to come in and be the number one guy on a team like Chicago, maybe, that drafts a wide receiver because they don't re-sign Allen Robinson? And Mooney's not literally an alpha to me, but if they get a guy like, I don't know, Rashad Bateman or someone like that, that could be a great landing spot. So that's a big part of the process. But I want to talk about these prospects You guys watch the tape. You guys have opinions. So I'm going to start right at the top. And we're going to talk about most, pretty much the consensus number one wide receiver in this class. And it's Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. You see a lot of mock drafts. He's typically going anywhere from number 3 to number 6, maybe a little bit later. Looks like he's going to be a top 10 pick. Put up an absolutely historic 2019 campaign with Joe Burrow under center, and obviously they had Justin Jefferson as well and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the best college offense we've ever seen statistically. And Ja'Marr Chase was a part of that. Now, in 2020, he didn't play. He decided to opt out. So we have some, I wouldn't say concerns, because we've talked a lot about prospects, running backs especially, where a lot of players didn't play in 2020, so you're going on the years prior. And that's what we're going to have to do with Ja'Marr Chase. So, Riley, I'm going to give the stage to you. You're the guest, so you get to go first. You've watched Ja'Marr Chase. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. Where do you think he projects as a pro in the NFL?
Dad, I'll tell you, I'll keep this pretty short and sweet, because with Ja'Marr Chase, boom, it's very easy. He's a fun mix of A.J. Brown and Dez Bryant, right? He's got great hands. When you watch Chase, he wins horizontally and he wins vertically. If you can do both of those at a high level in the SEC, you're going to do extremely well in the NFL. Chase has got it all. He can be a number one. If he comes in as a number two, great. He's going to see a little bit easier coverage. Chase is a stud. He's the top guy for me in this class. I am pumped and would take him top 5 in any format. So don't overthink Chase. We had a little weird period there where people were kind of down on him. It seemed like it was cool to have him as your 3 or 4 in this class for a couple weeks there. But Chase is the number one guy for me in a tier of his own. I'm pumped to see him. I can't wait.
In a perfect world, what NFL team would you like to draft Ja'Marr Chase for a fantasy fit?
I was just sitting here thinking, hoping you wouldn't ask me that question, because I hadn't really thought about it.
Ooh.
Anywhere where he's going to see the field, because he's going to have an impact. I mean, Miami comes to mind. I don't know if they're really going to take him. They're at 3. Unless they move back, Carolina wants to jump up for a really your. I'm not going to be comfortable with Devontae as my wide receiver one. Chase would really, really fit in well with him. He'd pair well. I'll say Miami, but he's going to thrive wherever he lands.
I don't want to see him land in Miami, because I own too much Preston Williams, to be honest. So that would definitely hurt my Preston Williams stock. So, Tim, you've watched the tape on Chase. Give me some of your observations.
Riley said he's in a class of his own. I think it's a little tighter than that for me, but he is the guy that graded out the highest on the film. He shows the ability to play on both the outside and in the slot, so you're not going to get that, oh, Justin Jefferson, he only plays in the slot routine like we did last year. He shows it on film. He can play from all three of your major receiver positions. He gets off the line and free of press coverage very well. He shows the ability to catch the ball under pressure and in heavy traffic with the strong hands. And he's a very tough runner. This is the A.J. Brown side of it that Riley brought up. After he gets that ball, he transitions into a runner, A, very quickly, and B, he is a tough tackle. He makes you work, get the tackle. He's probably going to make the first guy miss, and that second guy is only going to probably slow him up for that third guy to finally make the tackle on him.
And the fourth guy is just wiping the sweat off his forehead, because he wanted nothing to do with it.
and like I said, if he does make that first guy miss, he does have the speed to take it to the house. He shows really good body control when the ball's in the air, adjusting and high pointing the ball over defenders. He does a good job of turning into the, I already mentioned this, turning into the running back once the ball's in his hands. Ja'Marr Chase, like Riley said, there was that weird little period, maybe it was even about a month, where you had Devonta Smith win the Heisman, Waddle came back, had the really good championship game. And then everybody's got that, the Rondell Moore or the, Rashad Bateman, they start getting a little bit of hype. So people are like, oh, maybe Chase is the 2 or the 4 in the class. He's not. He is the best wide receiver in this class. It's pretty close for me. I think Smith is a close number 2. But, yeah, Chase wins that one by a nose.
Tyler, any words about Chase before we move on?
He's quick off the line. He's got quick and strong hands. What I like best about him is he doesn't show his hands to the defender until really late, like really late. I have not seen a receiver be this quick to the ball with his hands in a long time. It's like a snap, and it's insane to me. He's got quick, strong hands. When he's pressed, he wins in a variety of ways. It's not always consistent, but he wins in multiple ways with strength, with finesse, speed. He rarely gets overpowered. He gave AJ Terrell fits, because he's just too strong in that championship game. And when I say strong, my comparison, he's like a boxer who just does body shot after body shot after body shot. And it's to the point where he can just pretty much run around you towards the end of the game and get those deep shots. He's ultra talented. And yeah, he's my 101.
Awesome. Yeah, I think he's pretty much the consensus at this point. But Tim did mention a name, the Heisman Trophy Award winner. We haven't seen a wide receiver win a Heisman in, I don't know, forever, it seems like. But Devonta Smith from Alabama has an absolutely amazing season, a really great collegiate career, you know, with a lot of talent surrounding him. Now, the biggest thing on Smith is I think he'll be somewhere in the top 10 as a pick, maybe top 15 in the NFL draft. I don't think he's going to fall too far because, you know, the BMI police are out in full force. The SWAT team of BMI is like, whoa,
wait a minute. He's only 185 pounds. We can't possibly play in the NFL. We've never seen that before.
And then, you know, you see pictures of him next to Justin Jefferson. I said it like a month ago when we talked about it. I was like, Justin Jefferson's not a big dude, and look what he just did. And Devonta Smith is built like an alien. I was talking to my brother-in-law, and I said, he looks like Rajon Rondo. Like, he has the longest arms you've ever seen. He's almost like...
That's a great comp.
He's almost like E.T. Like, his arms are just, like, freakishly long. And, you know, we've
seen... And his shoulders are so wide.
Yeah, he's just...
such wide shoulders.
He's built differently. We've never really seen a wide receiver that's built like him, physically. So it's really weird. But he has the production. You know, you talk about great hands. You talk about speed. Although the only thing that people are going to be is like, yeah, well, you know, he's not that heavy. Well, I saw Marvin Harrison play a bunch of years ago, and that dude ain't big either. And he was just fine because he's got a gold jacket and he's in the Hall of Fame. So, Tyler, I'm going to give this one to you. Give me your Devonta Smith business.
So I wanted Devonta Smith because I am very irritated by the weight thing. Like Doug was saying, we saw the picture. If you're going to say Justin Jefferson is 202, which he weighed in at the combine, I don't think he is. But, you know, if you're going to go with that theory, you've got to, by seeing that picture, you've got to use your mind and say, okay, Smith is close to Jefferson. If you're going to keep Jefferson at 202, you got to put Smith at 190 at least. Because in that picture, I don't care what color shirt he's wearing. I don't care. Your eyes know what they're seeing. And I know what about it. Like, if Smith is thin, it's in his waist. And that's the only issue I have. Like, he's rail thin in the midsection. But other than that, he's fine. Like, he's got bigger legs than Jefferson. Like we were talking about, his shoulders are very wide. They're wider than Chase. I mean, Chase's weight is all in his calves. We all know that.
Like Tim.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, just like Tim. But I was a little worried about the weight, but man, after watching the tape, you can't get over it. He is a long 6'1", very large wingspan. Like, it's insane. His finesse off the line is awesome to watch. It's so fun to watch how good he is just getting off the line, and he wins in multiple ways. He's not scared to catch the ball in the middle of the field, and I'm more scared than he is when he's in the middle of the field when he catches it. And his legs are so long that it doesn't seem like he's running fast, but it's almost like he's taking 5 yards per step.
Very Arian Foster-esque. Like, Arian Foster never looked like he was going fast, but no one ever really caught him either.
Oh, yeah. And his legs are so long. You know, and the last thing is age. People were freaking about his age. He's older. But do you know something? Calvin Ridley came in at 23. Smith turns 23 in November. So technically he'll be 22 most of the year. You know who else is going to be 23 in November?
Sam Darnold.
Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle is 11 days younger than Smith, and nobody's talking about that. Everybody's harping on Smith about his age. Oh, he's old. But you know what? You've got to... Yeah, I just feel like people are nitpicky about this. The guy won the Heisman. He's such a good player. And like Doug said, we have not seen a type of receiver built like this in a long time, if at all.
Riley.
I like him. I think he's locked in at 2.
Nice. Riley, what do you got to say about Smith?
Smith is solid. He was a fun evaluation. It's hard to find a lot of knocks on him other than the weight, if you want to. But, I mean, what can you say? He won in the SEC. I don't care if he's, you know, 183. Now, if he was 5'8", 183, or, well, I guess that's a little better. But if you're,
Jaylen,
you know,
Waddle?
I was more thinking, you know, if you're a Marquise Brown size, then I have some worries. You know, if you're 5'8", 5'9", weighing 160, that could be an issue. But, I mean, if you're 6'1", 6'2", 180-something, and you're doing this against, you know, SEC competition at corners week in and week out, not a problem. My favorite part about him, his run blocking vastly improved from 2019 to 2020. You love to just see the improvement there. That was awesome. He's a dog in the running game as a blocker this year. 2019, he tended to struggle to hold blocks. He was really figuring out how to use his long arms and his kind of his, you know, as Tyler was, or as you all were talking about, his really broad shoulders. He figured out how to do it, and he learned how to, you know, get under the frame, get under the pads, and hold the corners down. It was awesome to see. The only really knock I have against him is he tends to lean into his breaks a little bit deep down the field. That can be coached up, not a big deal. Worst case, he's Nate Washington as a wide receiver too, who wins just for 12, 13 years in the NFL. I think he's going to be a Calvin Ridley type where he's kind of the wide receiver two in the offense, but it's 2021. Like, who cares if you're a wide receiver one, wide receiver two? You're right. Going to produce no matter what. I'm on board with Smith. You know, if I can get him in the mid late first, I am running to MFL to hit submit.
So quick question for you, Riley. Who's better in the run game, Devonta Smith or Noah Brown?
Oh, Noah Brown, 100%. He's the best run blocker I've seen in the last 6 years.
He's made a career out of it, so good for him.
Hey, you know what? To be fair, I whiffed a little bit. I was a little bit high on Noah, but that's the only reason that's kept him on the roster this long.
Oh, for sure. Like, he's made a career out of doing special teams and run blocking really, really well. So kudos to him. Absolutely.
Wide receiver three from that class still.
Yep. So, Tim, give me your evaluation on the Heisman Award winner.
You brought up Marvin Harrison. That's exactly who he looks like to me. As a matter of fact, just tall, lanky, and he is – when you watch his film, it's watching artwork in motion. Everything he does is absolutely beautiful. He's so fun to watch. And Tyler brought up the arm length. Riley brought up the arm length. Doug brought up the arm length. His catch radius is off the charts. I think he accelerates in and out of his breaks really well. He runs very, very nice routes. He uses his shoulder, his head, his upper body to just give he shows the DBs a little something to get him guessing wrong. And then he's got that separation he needs. Everything about him is smooth, in and out of his breaks, on his line. He's a tactician. He's not a huge yards after the catch type of guy, but he does fight for the yards once he has the ball in his hands. I mentioned it here in my notes. Honestly, watching this kid's film is like watching art. It's a thing of beauty. Very few mistakes, very few drops. His ability to recognize coverages, read the holes in the defense. He stops, sits down in the gap, presents himself a nice big target for the quarterback. It's all a work of art. A quarterback is going to absolutely love him because he seems like he's very, very well developed right now. Give him another season in an NFL, you know, training camp, he's going to be even more developed and smarter at this game. He's going to be a quarterback's best friend. He's absolutely amazing.
Tim, would you
it's
like?
It's going to be fun to watch Jalen Hurts throw the ball right
I was
in front
just,
of him
I was,
into the ground.
I was just going to say, Tim, your Eagles pick at number six. Mm-hmm. Would you? I mean, they have a lot of needs, obviously, because they've got some salary cap issues and whatnot. Would you like to see Devonta Smith as a Philadelphia Eagle?
Absolutely. Okay. I think that Devonta Smith, while I have Chase on film rated higher, I think Smith would fit the Eagles a little bit better.
Okay.
You sound just like their management. Jalen Reagor fits our offense better.
Well, no, that's the problem. Their management last year thought Jalen Reagor fit their offense better when I was screaming for Justin Jefferson once CD was off the board.
I think everybody was.
I think we all were.
Everybody.
Hey, Philly, if you need a draft day consultant, I'm not far away. I'll come.
You know, I live 45 minutes from the Patriots. I could draft wide receivers better for them than they can. Yes, so, like, just come at me. I'll work cheap.
Can you coach it that way? Can you coach them up better though when they're actually on your team? Because that's their issue.
I might be. I mean, Chad O'Shea did it. We'll see. All right, so let's get into Devonta Smith's teammate. It's Jalen Waddle, who he's had some injury history here. You know, he missed some time this year with Alabama, but came back later in the season. And I know a lot of people, especially on Twitter, will have Waddle ranked ahead of Devonta Smith. to me, you know, I look at the two of them. I think they're both really good players. I have Smith ahead of Waddle. Mm-hmm. But Tyler, I want to go to you on this one. What's your evaluation of Waddle? And is it unfair? Well, not unfair, but is it crazy to put Waddle over Smith?
To me, yes. I would have to say yeah. And the thing is Waddle's fun. And I just don't know if he's going to be a huge fantasy producer. That's where I'm worried about. Like, we saw it with Henry Ruggs. Waddle is different than Ruggs, but is an NFL team going to look at him as a speed guy? Like, Ruggs was, like, everybody's saying, oh, he's not just a speed guy. Well, you know what? They used him like a speed guy, and that's where the issue comes. I mean, he cuts at full speed, and he keeps his speed. He uses his quickness and routes to help him win. He's honestly not just a speed guy. He's a great route runner. He's primarily a slot receiver. So in my mind, if you like Sterling Shepard, you're going to absolutely love Jaylen Waddle.
Cool.
and I mean, he's Waddle's more electric than Shepard, but in the terms of how they're going to be used, I feel like it's going to be very similar. He's got pretty good hands, and he's close to Chasen Smith, but those two to me are away, you know what I mean? Like, close to Chasen Smith compared to the other guys. And there's another guy we're going to talk about soon from my neck of the woods that is definitely closing in after I watched the tape. But yeah, Waddle is definitely in that other tier.
All right, Tim, I'm going to go to you on this one. Give me your film analysis on Jaylen Waddle.
Of the two Alabama receivers, Waddle is the better after the catch player. He has amazing speeds. He runs decent routes. It's my opinion that a team will probably fall in love with his speed, thinking they can weaponize it properly. You don't see a ton of press man coverage on Waddle at the college game because of his speed. You know, if you're going to run that DB up in his face and he's going to whiff at the line of scrimmage, it's off to the races. Waddle's going to beat you. He didn't get through traffic nearly as cleanly as other receivers. When he does, we talked about like Chase and Devonta both. As they're running crossing routes, I think Smith is just – he kind of sees – he's more like Gretzky. He sees the game. He sees the next move, where Chase just has that innate talent. He can get through the traffic very easily. Waddle doesn't seem to flush himself out of the traffic very well. He can get caught up a little bit in it. Overall, I think Waddle is a decent receiver. He is going to be drafted in every rookie draft out there. I would draft Jaylen Waddle in rookie drafts as well. I don't have him in my top five, though.
Okay. Riley, what do you think about Waddle?
Waddle's fun, man. And I'll tell you this. In the fantasy world, we rank these guys, and it's okay. But in the real football, the NFL draft, I don't think these guys are going to be ranked. The whole top five or top six, you're going to get a little something different with each guy. Mm-hmm. And they're all really, really good at what they do and how they do it. So that being said, I just want to preface it with all these top five or six – They're very, very good and have the ability to make a huge impact at the next level, which is awesome. So I'm struggling to rank the top five or six. However, Waddle is the highest graded speed guy, electric speed guy, that I've given a grade to in the last 5 years. I think he's so much different than Marquise Brown, than Jalen Reagor, than even Henry Ruggs from last year. Waddle's got it. I mean, he's an electric human being. If you have even a remotely creative offensive coordinator, and no, I'm not talking about Adam Gase, He is going to make an impact, and it's going to be awesome to see. I don't have a ton of knocks on him. I think he's a better route runner than a lot of people give him credit to, and that's not to like throw something in Tim's face or whatever. But he does a really nice job of setting up leverages against corners, right? So they can't give him a ton of cushion because he's going to eat that shit up just quicker. Can I say that on here?
That's fine.
You're good.
Cool. He's going to eat that shit up quicker than anything. You can't press him but not jam him because he's just going to run straight by you. But he sets him up so he runs at the back shoulder and then cuts across, and before you know it, he's 5 yards past you, 10 yards past you, and he's catching deep balls. Waddle's fun. I'm excited to see where he lands. I think he's going to win. I have him as my wide receiver three, like just behind Devontae Smith. I flip-flop all the time, but it's all about taste. It's all about what you want. If you want more of the quote-unquote possession guy, that's Smith. But if you want to be creative and have an electric guy, it's Waddle. So I'm on board.
Danny Dimes. Dimes is going to love Waddle.
I think
throw in those dimes.
Yeah, I think Waddle is definitely in play for the Giants in the 11th spot. I think the best landing spot for Waddle in that range is with the Chargers at number 13. Like, they, the Chargers have to decide what they're going to do with Mike Williams, if they're going to pick up his fifth-year option. I would not do that. But if you put a guy like, you've got Justin Herbert, you've got Keenan Allen, and you put a guy like Waddle in that offense with the GOAT tight end Donald Parham in tow, like, phew, we're talking elite, elite production for the Chargers. So let's get on to our next guy. This is one of my favorite guys at the wide receiver position. It's Rashad Bateman. Tyler alluded to him earlier up in the Minnesota area. Teammate of Tyler Johnson. Bateman, to me, has more of that alpha type of profile that you like to see. And I talked about earlier about, like, he would be great for the Chicago Bears drafting at number 20, or even like the Washington football team right in that same ballpark. I could see him stepping in, being a day one starter and being productive in his rookie season. So I'm going to go back to Riley, and I want you to talk to me about Rashad Bateman.
Speaking of Keenan Allen, great segue. Rashad Bateman, a.k.a. Keenan Allen 2.0. Worst case, he's Tyler Boyd. Best case, he's a better version of Keenan Allen. I don't have hardly anything to say against, you know, about Rashad Bateman. He's a little weak sometimes against press. He can get kind of shifted or moved off his route. That's fine because he's just going to kind of cut away and have separation before the quarterback ends his three-step drop, which is awesome. But, he's great hands, great route runner, almost more comfortable catching balls away from his frame than when it's right in the numbers, which is cool. So, quick footwork. The only question I have is he strong enough not to allow physical corners to rough him off his route. I mean, he's a possession guy. You're not going to ask him to run vertically a ton. He can, not his forte, but I'm all about it. You know, wherever he goes, dude's going to catch passes and be an absolute rock star. Kind of weird because I've got him in that wide receiver 3 range, but like I said, it's tough to rate all 5 of these guys because they've got very similar grades. But I'm all on board the Bateman train.
All right, Tim, are you on board the Bateman train as well?
I am aboard the Bateman train. As Riley just mentioned, the crossing, the in-breaking routes, what we see a ton of there in Minnesota. Not saying he can't be a vertical passing threat, but you don't see a ton of it on film. I personally believe this guy's going to be a quarterback's best friend, working the middle of the field between the 20s, getting open, creating separation, and being that easy target for a quarterback to hit and continue to drive the ball down the field. He's athletic off the line of scrimmage. He uses his stutter steps and his jab steps to get defenders guessing the wrong way. After the catch, he shows strong in the run game. And then my last two notes here, I really like Bateman's route running, as I do believe an NFL team will as well. And we brought this up with, I believe it was Devonta Smith last year. When Bateman's asked to run block, it's kind of, I'm just kind of in the way type of thing. He's not really engaging on the run blocks. I'd love to see him engage more. Just get, you know, that guy's going to get in your face all game. Give it back to him a little bit. So,
yeah, I like that. So let's wrap up the Bateman talk with Tyler. You're closest to Bateman here because he went to the University of Minnesota. So you got any inside dirt? Do you know a cousin? Is it Eric Decker's cousin by chance? Like, I want to know all these things from you, Mr. Tyler.
I got no connections, but up here in Minnesota, we absolutely love Bateman. I mean, we got spoiled with Tyler Johnson, and then here comes this guy, Rashad Bateman, coming in to take his place. I know COVID kind of stole the show.
It stole Bateman. Everything.
Yeah, it's pretty much stole everything. He tracks the ball amazingly. He's a guy that can go up and get the ball. He makes amazing catches. He's fast enough to separate. I mean, we all supposedly he ran a 4.37.
He tweeted that himself, I believe, right?
Yeah, pretty much. He's better than good at all things, but he's not really a master at anything. You know what I mean? So he kind of reminds me of when Zeke came out. How everybody's like, well, his pass blocking's elite, but you know Zeke was really really good at everything, but he didn't have that like one trait that stood out, and that's Bateman to me. And we saw the comps for Devontae Adams. I could see it because the style of play is there. My only knock on him is that sometimes when he's trying to get off the line, he takes one too many steps, kind of that dancing type thing. And that's my only knock on him. Other than that, I'm liking him a lot. And if he lands in the right spot, he'll probably jump Waddle for me in my rankings.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, the landing spot is important because, you know, you look at, you know, like we said earlier, target percentage and, and all that things. Those are important when you're doing your evaluations post-draft. So let's get into number five here, and that's Rondale Moore. I know a lot of people stand hard for Rondale Moore, and I can see why. You know, he's a little bit smaller. He's 5'9", 180, but fast. With the ball in his hands, outside of Jamar Chase, like, he's different than Jamar Chase, but with the ball in his hands, probably the most exciting player other than Chase, to me, in this wide receiver class. You know, it's really interesting. You know, Moore, is this right? He's only played 7 games in the last 2 seasons. Is that correct? Like, so that might be an interesting evaluation. You know, he had the great season in 2018, only plays 4 games in 2019 and 3 in 2020. So that could factor in. I would love to see the a combine, because we've seen, like, him, the workout footage, and the dude is yoked. He looks like... He's shorter, but he's jacked, kind of like Tyreek Hill, and I'm not comparing them because they're totally different players. But from a physicality standpoint, I was like, oh, okay, that made my eyes open a little bit. So let's start with Tim and go with Rondale Moore. I know he's a lot of people's number 2 wide receiver in this class, which is a little bold, but hey, rankings are rankings. So hey, whatever. Give me some news.
I'll tell
on
you
Moore.
What, based off the film grade, I got him at number 3. I think he's a Debo clone. He gets his hands... they get it in his hands near the line of scrimmage, and they let the man get to work and do what he does best, and that is run after the catch. He's got running back like power, good side to side lateral agility, maintains balance through contact, spins and rolls off contact very well. He can also be a down the field threat. He can run decent routes. As he's running routes, he uses a jab step to the outside and then crosses the defender's face beautifully. And once that ball's in his hands, look out, that's when the fun begins. Rondale Moore is a after-the-catch specialist. He's one of the best in the class, in my opinion. There's other guys, like a man down in Florida who's an absolute, like, joystick monster after the catch. But as a guy who's, you know, 5'9", 180-ish, this guy's got good... after the catch ability. He literally turns into a running back, in my opinion, after the catch. There's teams out there that they're going to see him, watch his tape, talk to his coaches, and they're going to think there's a million different things we can do to get the ball in this guy's hands and let him just make magic happen out there on the field.
Gotcha. Would you say, like, I know he's a little bit thicker than, like, a Curtis Samuel, but would you like to see him, like, used in a similar fashion?
Absolutely.
At the pro level?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Curtis Samuel playbook, you know, maybe with a little bit more volume.
Okay, fair enough. Tyler, I'm going to go to you now on Rondale Moore. What do you think? You like, you don't like? What do you like?
I like him. He's just, there's a lot of these players later on in the draft, and he's limited. I mean, his height is definitely going to limit him. I know he can jump out of the gym, but if you're going to sit here and say he's Tyreek Hill, don't use that comp.
No.
You can't use that comp. He's one of the... avoid comps.
There's only one Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Randall Cobb would be a good comp for him if Randall Cobb had
wheels,
like the crazy explosiveness that he does. And I could see that. But the thing is Cobb was used in a certain way with a team that pretty much gave him a ton of volume. And that's what I think Rondale Moore is going to have to land into. It's landing spot dependent with this guy. I know receivers aren't supposed to, but there's so many 5'9", 180 type guys in this draft class that are shifty, can move well, and with good route running. I fear for those guys. That's why the Bateman, the Smith, and the Chase type guys, I think, are more of the shots to take as the wide receiver one, because there's a lot of guys that are very talented, but they're just going to be limited in today's NFL with their size and kind of being that alpha. But, I mean, if they get the volume, great. Rondale Moore is one of those guys that if he gets volume, he is going to eat that up, because we saw him as a freshman have one of the best seasons in college football, and that to me is insane.
Yeah, I think with Moore, you know, we've seen a lot of mock drafts land him like in the end of the first round to like a New Orleans Saints or a Green Bay. A spot like Kansas City would be super interesting, right? You know, they like to build around speed. Sammy Watkins isn't going to be back. We don't really know what Mecole Hardman is. A guy like Moore would fit that offense really, really well. And they've shown that, like, hey, we're not afraid to go after skill positions in the first round after drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year. So I think that would be a... That would be a really interesting fit to pair him with Patrick Mahomes in that offense, obviously with Tyreek there. Yeah, that would be really cool. But to wrap up on Moore, Riley, what do you have in your analysis?
Moore's fun, dude. He's another electric guy. He's going to do a lot at the next level. I have him as a slot-only wide receiver, but he's going to play out of the backfield. He's going to return some. I mean, Randall Cobb's the name I've got written down. I also had Joey Galloway as kind of a throwback. I remember Joey being super, super quick and had great burst. I think he was a little bit taller, but, I mean, if your skill set's pretty similar, I don't really care about height and weight all that much. But, you know, anywhere kind of in that range. The only, like, kind of – he's got some concentration drops from time to time, but, like, that's not a huge deal because I know he can catch the ball. He's super tough over the middle of the field, which I love. He does all the weird things well, which I know it sounds weird, but he – when the play breaks down, Rondale's always there, and it's super weird because you seem like he's on the opposite hash coming back, and he's always there when, you know, quarterback rolls out. You didn't see him work vertically a ton, but when you have David Blauer as your quarterback, you're probably not going to want to run more than 10 yards. So,
hey, have more respect to that name, all right?
I mean, yeah, he looked great on Thanksgiving back a couple years ago, but David Blau. So say what you will, but I mean, Moore's fun. He's a little bit lower for me. He's more in the 4 to 5 range, but like I said, all these guys are super close. We're splitting hairs. He's a fun player. Landing spot's going to be big with Rondale Moore.
So is at his size, can we go thigh comparison to Saquon and AJ Dillon?
Absolutely. Especially relative to height.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Height, yeah. Thigh, you know, relativity. Yeah, he's up there.
There's a new metric I want to see.
Be a new thing. Yeah, I was going to say.
Where's the height to thigh ratio?
Yeah.
I mean, his is 1 to 1.
Yeah. You just divide height by thigh width. Like, that's easy.
I'm pretty sure B Dubs actually came up with that when they had thighs in their store. Chicken thighs.
Oh, yes. Buffalo Wild Wings.
That took me a second. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm just going to go.
See you later, Tyler.
I'll end on that one. I should just retire.
Let's get into our next receiver. This receiver has been getting a lot of love in mock drafts, typically landing in the first round. He's a bit of a 1 year wonder. 5'11", 190 pounds. You can use him all over the field, much like Moore. You know, he's a punt returner. He's a deep threat. You could probably use him even a little bit at running back if you wanted to. And that's Kadarius Toney out of Florida. You know, the red flags for me is, like, whenever I see a guy that, like, you know, he had a great last season, I'm always a little skeptical. You're right. So it's always like, well, I saw it one time, but, you know, I like to see consistency. That's why I think Moore is interesting too. Like, he had that great freshman year. And then the next 2 years has been like, he hasn't done much. But you're relying on the athleticism. Yeah, I know. You're relying on the athleticism. And Tony's a little bit like that for me. So I'm going to go back to Riley on this one. And give me your evaluation of Toney. I think he's one of the more polarizing prospects in this draft.
Toney's fun. And for me, he's like a good steak. If he comes at a nice medium rare, solid. Going to be a really good player. However, if you get somebody who doesn't know how to cook and he comes out really raw, which he starts off as raw because Kadarius is that, it's not going to leave a good taste in your mouth. Weird analogy, but trust me, if you ever eat a raw steak,
I like it.
It works. So yeah. Super fun. I'm on board with Toney. If you have a tenured wide receivers coach who knows what he's doing. So I know the production wasn't there, which worries me a little bit. I think I'm a little afraid he's going to be the next Anthony Miller, where he's kind of got all the measurables, kind of that same build, going to be that slot guy, talking to the biggest Anthony Miller fan in the world, who's right up there with Noah Brown. I mean, his hands are a little worrisome. He double clutches a lot more than he should, but one of the best route runners in the draft. Yard after catch is just fantastic. He can shake him, break him. I think he's going to be a slot only, which is fine, because that's not a huge kind of issue in the NFL nowadays, but... if I know people love comps, so that's why I'm just kind of throwing them out there. Go back and watch Bobby Engram from the good old days.
Okay.
You're going to see a Penn lot. State. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Bobby Engram. And he had a long NFL career, but yep. I don't think he ever reached a ceiling. He was always that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 for
like
the
700,
offense.
800 yards, just, like maybe 5 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. Like 10 years in a row, right? I think he had one season where he had like 1,500 yards, which was awesome. But then he was right down there with the 600-700 range next year. Toney's fun. You know, if he lands in a spot where he's going to get peppered with targets, I'm on board in the early second-ish, but I don't think I'm spending a first.
Okay, gotcha. Tyler, what do you think of Kadarius Toney?
Yeah, I think people are going to be a lot higher than me on him. I think he's a lot less skilled than Rondale Moore for me. I think Moore has more explosiveness, but Toney, to me, it's just like we see so many of these guys come out, these specific slot receivers with explosive. Oh, you can put them at running back. And maybe that's the way the NFL is going. But, man, Curtis Samuel just screams out to me. But I think Curtis Samuel is probably more talented than Toney is. I've seen him, and I've actually taken him in a bunch of mocks in the early third round. And if I can get him there, I'm all for that. But I think his price is getting too high for me.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be in the first round in NFL drafts, and that's going to bump him up from a third round pick because they'll say the draft capital will be there, and you know, obviously people equivalent, you know the word, they take that round one and be like he's immediately going to be a starter. Mm-hmm. So, Tim, what do you got on Toney?
This man literally broke ankles. His lateral agility after the catch is bonkers. It's off the charts. And Florida did a very good job of utilizing his skill set beautifully. He does run decent routes, and he can be a downfield receiver. But Florida did a great job of utilizing his strengths by getting the ball in his hands early in the play and letting him get those yards after the catch as quickly as possible. What I do like about Toney is his ability to kind of be that guy that you can do almost anything with. Again, this goes to Riley's take of you need a specific certain type of play caller to realize this man's skill set and how to utilize it properly. You're going to need that wide receiver coach to work on some of his more raw attributes. Things I don't like about Toney, and Riley brought this up, I see a lot of double catches, a lot of double clutches there. When the balls should just be clean into the hands and tucked away, he's still double clutching it before that defender's getting there. And we all know that he's not going to have the same separation as he did in college. So that double clutch, probably half of those are going to hit the turf because that defender's going to get there just after the ball does. Also, when I saw Toney get the ball in his hands in the backfield, end arounds, or on quick screens off the line of scrimmage, there's that 7-8 yard play just available. Just get downfield. That safety's going to come down. He's going to make the tackle. It is what it is. It's now 2nd and 3. Instead, Toney would attempt to reverse the field. Defensive end stays home, does his job properly. Now you're looking at a 4-yard loss. So sometimes he's trying to hit every play for a home run when, hey, there is absolutely nothing wrong with a 7-yard gain unless obviously it's 3rd and 8. At that point, yeah, go ahead, try to hit the home run. Try to get that first down. But if it's 1st, 2nd down, take what the defense is giving you. Go on to the next play. Toney, overall, I think he is a very fun player to watch. I put, you know, since we talked about other, you brought up Rondo earlier, I said he looks a little bit like Allen Iverson on a football field.
The crossover, yeah. Step back against Jordan.
Yeah. He'll have a defender in that phone booth with him, and he makes him completely whiff. Like no one was even there.
The best looking and best feeling basketball shoe I've ever worn.
The AIs?
The answers?
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. The answers, yeah, nice. Yeah. Such an underrated career for Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. Anywho, let's move on to our last one. We are going to talk about Terrace, no N for you out there, Terrace Marshall Jr. out of LSU, 6'4", 200 pounds. Obviously took over when Ja'Marr Chase didn't play this year. So had a solid season for LSU. Obviously they didn't have Joe Burrow this year, but still finished with 731 yards and 7 touchdowns. And 10 touchdowns in 7 games. So had a really nice season. You know, the thing with Marshall that his biggest criticism is he's not overly quick, but he has long speed. It just takes him a while to kind of build up to it. He needs a little bit of runway. So I think that's going to be something that, you know, in the NFL, maybe he's probably most likely going to be a 2nd round pick, if I were to guess, in the NFL. And I think he'll probably, depending on where he lands, he'll probably be like the middle to end of a 2nd round in your rookie drafts, I think is where he's kind of destined to be. But, you know, you want to talk about size, you know, 6'4". He's one of the bigger receivers that we've talked about so far. So I like that. But let's go to Tyler on this one, and we'll let Riley wrap us up after Tim goes. But Tyler, give me your evaluation on Marshall Jr.
He's very young, and he's going to need that time to progress in everything that he does. He needs some time to grow. He's, like you said, he's not fast, but he's fast enough. He doesn't have the best moves off the line. He does get pushed around for his size. But, I mean, he's got some drops, but a lot of these I feel like are things that you can coach up because he is ultra talented. And the talent's there. He was a high recruit. I just think he needs a little time to kind of smooth out the rough edges of his game. Yeah, I mean, without everybody that they had, without Jefferson and Chase, he was left to kind of get everything there with the limited season they had. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see where he is drafted because you said second round. For me, I think he could be like a third round type pick. I'm not that high on him, and if he's there as a value in the second round, because like mid to late second, you're either choosing Freiermuth, who I would probably rather have, or Terrace Marshall, and I mean a lot of people are probably going to take him in the early second because there are a lot of truthers out there. So yeah, he's another player that I feel like I'm not going to get too much of.
All right, Tim, give me your eval with your tape watching on Mr. Marshall.
He seems to me like he's got that very high floor, you know, almost right there with the ceiling right now. I don't see at this age, at this stage in his game, you know, Tyler mentioned he's 20 years old. At this stage in his game, I don't see him coming to the league and within the next year or two putting up a bunch of like 30, 40-point fantasy weeks. He's going to be a very good fantasy wide receiver too right now. You want that guy that can go the hell off. Terrence is going to be that steady Eddie. He's going to get you that 10 to 15, 18-point weeks every week because he's that guy that's going to chew up yardage between the 20s, chew up targets, chew up receptions. He has good size. He's going to get looked at near the red zone. He has the ability to chew up targets between the 20s, as I said. He doesn't seem to have that like one major. He's not a crazy speed guy. He's not the world's best route runner in the class. He doesn't have that one trait. When all else fails, he can just kind of fall back on that trait. But he is very well-rounded. His entire game is good to good plus. He shows solid hands. He plucks the ball out of the air very well. He can work outside. He can work the middle of the field. I think that Terrence, Tyler mentioned him the second round. If, you know, if Freiermuth's gone, I think that Terrace is a very good, safe pick. I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise for fantasy owners here in the next couple years. This is a guy you might have to be patient with. Give him a year in the league to really develop his game even more because I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be a good NFL wide receiver. He just needs to take some of those rough edges, smooth them out a little bit. He is very well-rounded, just needs to tweak a couple things.
All right, Riley, to wrap us up, what do you got on Terrace Marshall Jr.?
First, I'm just going to ask Terrace's mom to go ahead and hop off because the next few minutes aren't going to be really fun for the Marshall family. So here's my thing with Terrace, right? And obviously, I'm not a fan. I didn't like at all what I saw. And I've gone back and watched several times because I want to like him. He's 6'3", 215. He played at LSU. He's it's there. It's all there except for his ability when he gets on the field. So here's what I'm going to start with. He plays out of the slot. Why? He can't beat press. Why can't he beat press? His pad level's too high. He's not quick at the line. He doesn't have good foot releases. He's not going to eat up cushion because he can't run. So what do? You jam him, you press him, and he goes nowhere. That only works from the 1 yard line to the 5 yard line on the plus side of the field. So as a red zone threat, he's going to be awesome. He'll have his small number of packages, but he can't run. I don't love his hands. He stabs at the ball a lot. All right, so watch Jamar Chase, how Tyler was mentioning, how he snatches and absorbs it, right? Go watch Tyler Boyd at Pitt. Even go watch Auden Tate at Florida State. He had some really, really good hands. Everything else sucked, right? He was the slowest guy on the field.
Makes the most acrobatic catches on the field, Auden Tate.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous.
I mean, it took him 5.5 seconds to run 40 yards.
He's like Paul Richardson.
Hey, he caught it. Oh, man, another good throwback there. But Marshall kind of stabs at him. I don't think he's a good run blocker. It's nothing to do with his technique or his strength. His guy just always makes the tackle, which is an issue. I mean, for me, scouting could be that simple sometimes because I really want it to be there. But I was talking to Zach Reed about it, and he said, just watch the nickel or the corner always makes the tackle when it's to his side of the field, and it's Terrace's guy. It's like, oh, good point. It's not there for me. He's like my wide receiver 12 or 13. I wouldn't touch him until the fifth or sixth round. If you want some names, like if you were a really big Justin Watson guy, I mean, he's sticking around on a roster as a wide receiver 4. I mean, I had a higher grade on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He's kind of that same boat, but J.J. had good hands. So I'm not a Terrace guy. I think he's a bust. It wouldn't shock me if he's a day 3 pick because he can't run, he can't catch, and he can't block.
Boom.
See, so, I got that same feeling that I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed by his draft stock.
Okay.
Unfortunately. I don't want to say Hakeem Butler, but he's kind of along that same lines of there's a lot of hype behind it.
Future number one tight end, by the way.
Sure. Maybe. We'll see.
I'm kidding. I'm joking. That's Tyree Jackson. Duh. I mean, come on. Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for our first part of our wide receivers. We got through 6 or 7 names here, so that was awesome. Really good pace. Really good analysis from all of you boys. Riley, what have you been up to? Where can we find you? Can we get you maybe 1 or 2 more followers on the Twitter machine? Give us your spiel.
I'm not up to a whole lot these days other than work. But yeah, so I mean, we still occasionally record a Dynasty Wall Street over there with Bosch and Cotillo. That's just at Dynasty Wall Street. I'm at DTC_RileyB. You know, hit me up if you want to argue about some players. That's pretty much all I'm good for nowadays. That and food and the office. So really those are the three main points that I really like to talk about.
You're
now.
A simple man, son, and I love that about you.
You're aging.
I learned from my dad.
That's right. Say you're aging just like every single one of us.
Awesome.
Food and TV shows.
That's what that was my goal like 5 or 6 years ago when I busted in. I said I want to be like everybody else.
And you've achieved it, so congratulations.
Thanks.
Absolutely. So thank you for coming on and joining us. Make sure you go on trophysmack.com. Use code DHHRING to get that free $60 championship ring, as well as the trophy belt or mouth bling, or whatever it's called, gangster grill that you order. You can do that. So for myself, I've been your host, Doug Eddy. For Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller and our host, Riley Bymaster, my son, we will see you next week with Wide Receivers Part 2 on the Dynasty Happy Hour.